The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. When we attend a funeral mass, we don't just attend a mass, we perform one of the spiritual acts of mercy. And the proper title for a funeral mass is a mass of Christian burial. And the purpose of a mass of Christian burial is, firstly, to pray for the repose of the soul of the person who's died, for the deceased. It's not a celebration of life, nor is it an introduction to that, in my opinion, most dreaded event, a eulogy. I don't like eulogies. And some years ago, I mean, the bishops agree, we were told, you know, don't do them within Mass. It's more appropriate for, like, a wake or in some other context. So thank God. If we try to turn a Mass of Christian burial into something else, then we're going to be worshiping as pagans instead of as Christians. If we focus only on a life lived, we forget that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if we refuse to bury the dead, that urn on the mantle, that is going to replace the Eucharist as the focus of our attention. And that does happen. In the gospel today, we walk. We walk with Jesus, Martha and Mary, and the crowds to the tomb of Lazarus. The raising of Lazarus anticipates what will happen on the last day when Jesus returns someday, that day when all the dead, like Lazarus, are going to be raised up. And through this miracle of life and love, Jesus demonstrates the truth of something he said earlier in John chapter 5. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Now, ironically, the name Lazarus means God helps. God helps. When Jesus hears that Lazarus is ill, he remains 2 days where he is. Why? The one he loves, you know, why? Why doesn't he, the Son of God, want to help his friend? Yes, Jesus wants to help his friend, but his goal, the only really goal, is not to prevent the death of his friend, but to give life and ultimately defeat the power of death. But in his human nature, our Lord still feels what he feels. When Mary falls at the feet of Jesus and tells him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, Jesus weeps. You know, that shortest sentence in the Bible, Jesus weeps. Now, Jesus both delayed 2 days and he wept to show us that while love includes emotions, more importantly, real love is an act of the will and involves sacrifice. When Jesus arrives at the tomb of Lazarus, he prays to his Father aloud because of the crowds. I mean, his Father can always hear him, but he prays out loud, loudly, so that the crowds can hear him, as Jesus says, that they may believe that you sent me. Similarly, with Lazarus, Jesus can do anything, but he cries out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. God the Father gave his Son the authority to give life, and so Jesus gives life to Lazarus. He obeys his Father, and he loves Lazarus and his friends. Now, there's more irony. Wouldn't you know, this miracle of life leads directly to the death of Jesus. Yes, many Jews who had come to Mary and seen Jesus raise Lazarus now have come to believe in Jesus. But many others have not, especially the powerful, the leaders. They begin to conspire against him. When Jesus returns someday, the general resurrection will take place because the death and resurrection of Jesus took place. Our graves will be opened because Jesus' grave was opened. And that's at the heart of why it's so important for a mass of Christian burial to be a mass of Christian burial and not leaving out the last part. Just as the raising of Lazarus anticipates the last day and the general resurrection, the prophet Ezekiel predicted that God would give life. And through the prophet, God says, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Now, my dear parishioners, in our lives, Jesus calls us. He calls us to come out of spiritual graves. Seriously, spiritual graves. St. Paul reminds the Romans and us that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit. Now, yes, we have bodies, but we came out of the waters of baptism a new creation, you know, different. Yes, we have flesh, but we are a union of body and soul. But if we see ourselves as only in the flesh, only as sexual beings, we will inevitably see ourselves and other people as objects to be used. And my dear people, this is both the cause and the effect of the pornography epidemic in our world today. I'm serious. The objectification of the human person is at the heart of it. And I mean, there are no leaders that I can really name nationally that are doing much about this. I mean, both secular liberals don't seem to care, and free market conservatives refuse to do anything other than expand access to the internet. If you challenge them, they'll say, well, if you don't want to do this, just don't buy it. But it doesn't help people that are stuck in it, right? There's more to life than just being free. But where human beings disappoint us, Christ steps forward and yells, come out. Come out. Come out, John. Come out, Mary. Come out, Thomas. Come out of your spiritual graves. Turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. Leave sin behind. Leave ideologies behind. Leave attachments behind. For example, many people, especially the young, get pulled into gender ideology. We've heard about that in the whole so-called transgender movement. It's a lie. Because if we separate gender from physical sex, we reduce ourselves to pure minds that carry around our bodies like luggage. If people believe they can change their gender because they change their minds, they're lying to themselves and they're trying to replace God as their own creator. And Pope Francis, he's spoken well about this consistently. Recently he said, he criticized this, saying that gender ideology is an evil attempt to obliterate all differences between men and women, to obliterate all differences between people, to just turn all of humanity into this just nondescript, like, gray mass. It's awful, but it doesn't have to be that way. If you struggle with gender dysphoria, or if you know someone who does, pray for them and love them until they hear the Lord yell out, come out of the grave, David, come out, John, come out, Mary. You don't have to do this. Obsessions or temptations don't need to become actions. We all have something in our spiritual graves, don't we? No, me, myself as a priest, we priests, the temptation to clericalism. I mean, Jesus called me to be a priest, a servant. He called me to be more than just a sacristy priest, though. The Pope has used that phrase, and I know what he means. We need men to be priests, not junior princes. We need men to be priests. Being holy is more important than looking good. You know, watered silk and French cufflinks and the whole nine yards. It's about being available and working hard for the people, not, as I said, looking good. I'm different than you as a priest, but I'm no better than you. Different is not better. Jesus yells to us priests, come out. Come out and serve the people. Don't just sit there. Titles for us can be, for all of us, both priests and lay people, can be a temptation to false gods. You know, I'm a hospital chaplain. Nobody at the hospital asks me if I'm a pastor or a monsignor or a dean. Nobody asks me if I'm a reverend or a very reverend. They just wanted a priest. I'm there, and they encounter Christ in the sacraments. They don't encounter my title. Activism can be a temptation for us. We can replace prayer with practical work. Now, a common question, maybe especially with new Catholics, oh, Father, how can I get more involved in my parish? You know what can happen? Too often the answer is right away activity. Volunteer more, and there's nothing wrong with volunteering. Volunteer more, join committees, organize committees, run for parish councils. But what about our prayer life? Our personal relationship with Jesus in prayer, in word, and most importantly, in the Eucharist. Now that's got to come first. Jesus came that all may be one, not that all may be busy. So abide with the Lord. Abide with the Lord first, and then go out in service. Come out, Jesus yells. Come out and see the other members of the body of Christ. See our three catechumens, our three candidates here today. Pray for the catechumens. Pray as they prepare for their conversion, their baptism into the family of God, the church and the evening of Easter Vigil will be their Christian birthdays. Pray for our three candidates, but pray for them differently. Please don't call them converts, ever. I can't stand it. Why? Because they're already baptized Christians. You know, I hear people say, oh, you know, my husband was a Lutheran and then he converted to the church. It's like, no, he didn't. You know, he was already a Christian. My dear candidates, you Christians are preparing to enter the church to become Catholic Christians, and you have our support. With the help of God, may we all remember the promises God the Father made through Jesus Christ, the promise and the offer of eternal life, if only we accept it. Elect of God, bow your heads and pray. Let us pray for these elect whom God has chosen. May the grace of the sacraments conform them to Christ in his passion and resurrection and enable them to triumph over the bitter fate of death.
That faith may strengthen them against worldly deceits of every kind. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That they may always thank God, who has chosen to rescue them from their ignorance of eternal life and to set them on the way of salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the example and prayers of catechumens who have shed their blood for Christ may encourage these elect in their hope of eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That they may all have a horror of sin which distorts life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those who are saddened by the death of family or friends may find comfort in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we too at Easter may again be confirmed in our hope of rising to life with Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the whole world, which God has created in love, may flower in faith and charity, and so receive new life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Also, we pray for Pope Francis and Bishop Sarama and their Lenten intentions. We pray to the Lord. And for the soul of Ed Wernicke, for whom this Mass is offered, and for all those who have died, we pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Father of life, and God not of the dead but of the living, you sent your Son to proclaim life, to snatch us from the realm of death, and to lead us to the resurrection. Free these elect from the death-dealing power of the spirit of evil, so that they may bear witness to their new life in the risen Christ, for he lives and reigns forever and ever. Lord Jesus, by raising Lazarus from the dead, you showed that you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Free from the grasp of death those who await your life-giving sacraments and deliver them from the spirit of corruption. Through your Spirit, who gives life, fill them with faith, hope, and charity, that they may live with you always in the glory of your resurrection. For you are Lord forever and ever.
Amen.